Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Filmcast After Dark, the after show for the Filmcast where we talk about a variety of random topics that did not make it into the show. I'm David Chen here with Devendra Hardware and Jeff Canada. This episode brought to you courtesy of the fine folks at patreon.com/filmpodcast.
Thank you.
We try to keep the tempo.
Jeff felt like you were going through something at that moment. It felt like there was a big
Jeff took a big gulp.
Trying to eat my sandwich.
Every month we post on patreon.com/filmpodcast, ask you for your questions. So we have a bunch of those that we're going to get to today. And then Jeff had a interesting topic he wanted to bring up about a recent visit to a movie theater. We're going to conclude by talking about Devendra's visit to CES and also other
virtual visit, not real.
Virtual visit and coverage. I meant to say coverage. I apologize.
It's okay.
And then talk about other tech things like the Vision Pro and stuff that's coming out this week. So let's get to it. Let's start with emails. Every month I post an open thread on the Patreon page and I ask for your questions and we read them and we answer them. I also want to say if you leave a question and it is not answered, feel free to leave it again in the following month. We try to get to as many as we can, but we don't do a great job. But we always appreciate the conversations we have from these questions. I want to start by reading not a question. This one comes in from Usama, who says... Actually, no, this is a question. Sorry about that. I got this confused with another thing. I'm meant to read this one by Redzwan. Redzwan writes, and hey, Dave, Jeff, and Devendra, this might come in a little late, but I wanted to thank you guys for keeping me sane during the early pandemic years. I'm a healthcare worker in Malaysia and was a frontliner during those dark times. I listened to your conversations on the way to and from work, and it kept me feeling normal and somewhat grounded. Sorry, I don't really have a question, at least not one that is interesting enough to merit a conversation amongst the guys. End quote. First of all, there is no question that doesn't merit some conversation among the guys. So, you know, nothing is so uninteresting that it
We will disagree about anything. That's absolutely true.
But yes, thank you so much for the lovely note. I wanted to read that and share that with you guys.
That's nice. Yeah.
Usama writes in, hi guys, I'm currently going through a tough time and turning to my favorite movies to keep my spirits up. I'm mostly rewatching the Lord of the Rings movies. What TV shows and movies do you watch to keep you going? And then a user called Here and Now responded, I know this is meant for the fellas, but I too am going through a tough time and keep rewatching Veep and The Sopranos to give me great joy lately. Keep your chin up. Do you guys have anything that gets you through tough times? We've talked about some variation of this question in the past. Any comfort movies or anything that you watch to keep you going through tough times?
Classic Simpsons always works for me. Like, you can really just like pick any episode pre-season 10. Like, it will make me forget about things and make me remember how much I love that show. Yeah.
I would say anything by Jesse Armstrong, honestly.
Yeah.
That would be Succession. That would be Peep Show. Most episodes of which are available on YouTube right now, bizarrely. So, I actually rewatched Succession season 4, like in its entirety over the course of last week.
Wow.
But I wasn't like focused watching. I just like left it on in the background for most of the time. And the thing that's great about a show like Succession or Peep Show or whatever is you basically, if you've seen it, you don't need to pay too close attention and you can kind of like zone in and out. And when you zone in, you can catch some amazing turn of phrase, you know?
Yeah.
And that's what I like about doing that way. So, Veep also would be, Armando Iannucci, you know, I would think that kind of the thick of it, Veep, what's the other show? In the Loop, that's the movie, right? Version of the thing.
That's the movie,
So those would be a few of the things that I kind of like keep me company. Jeff Canada, anything you watch?
It's not something I tend to do. I'm always trying to watch something new. I tend not to go back. And I'm not the kind of person, never really have been, even before kids. I was never kind of the person that just would have something on in the background. Usually if I'm watching something, that's what I'm doing. But I will go, you know, funny things. If I'm in the mood to watch a funny thing, sometimes I'll watch a funny thing that I know will be funny. I have the DVDs of Mr. Show. I return to that often. And recently it's, I Think You Should Leave. If I'll sometimes just put on, I Think You Should Leave, to revisit those sketches. But I tend not to be the kind of person that'll watch that'll like, hey, I want to rewatch all of Succession or something like, you know, something heavy or intense. I tend not to be that guy. But
fair. Well, thanks for the question. And yeah, appreciate the answers, guys. Razor writes in to patreon.com/filmpodcast. Jeff always referred to The Shield as the best TV show of all time during the TRS days. Does The Shield still hold up? And what are Dave and Devendra's thoughts on the show? End quote. This is a good question, Jeff. Do you still think this is the best TV show of all time?
It's a harder proposition these days because I think television has caught up to it. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think it still holds that place because it was the precursor to it all, right? There's no Breaking Bad without The Shield. There's no, yeah, it was it and The Sopranos were sort of there first. And I do think it holds up. I think it's phenomenal. I mean, it's it's very much of a time. You know, it was shot 4:3, right? It's it's
mostly on 16mm.
Standard definition. They recently put out the HD 16:9 thing. I have not had a chance to look at those to see.
They did like a Blu-ray like remaster.
I know Sean Ryan like took a lot of time and care to get that right because they shot it. You know how they do with cameras. You know, they shot it for 4:3, but they shot it with a 16:9
and the cross aspect.
So they had the data. It's not like they stretched it like Seinfeld or something. So he took a lot of time and did it right, one would hope. But I haven't had a chance to see that. I do think the show is still, you know, one of the best shows of all time, if not the best. And I think because it was there first or one of the first, it still deserves that moniker. It's just harder because there's so much great stuff now. Nobody was doing that kind of thing then. And it's hard to think back 20 years, but it really was, you know, prestige television before there was prestige television.
I would say maybe the last great 4:3 show, like the last one that I can remember that was not, you know, Letterboxd that I remember watching in the square, you know?
Yeah.
When was The Shield on the air? 2002 through 2008.
So as the HD era was coming in, The Shield was ending. Basically.
I would say the other big prominent one that actually literally almost lines up exactly with that show is The Wire, which is also broadcast in 4:3.
Yeah, that was always the big debate on TRS is which show is better, The Wire or The Shield.
Extremely different shows.
Who ended later? Who ended later? Because that would be the last. Okay,
The Wire is March of 2008. The Shield is November of 2008. So you're right. Wow. It was the last, Devendra. Devendra, did you see The Shield? Whole of The Shield?
Yeah, we talked about it back in the day. I have not seen the widescreen stuff, but I do remember like really digging The Shield. I think I caught to it like a little bit after you were watching it, Dave, but it was good stuff. But it was one of those shows that was also it's just so dark. It's just so hardcore. It's like, could never get my wife to watch it. I could only bring in friends who were like into like, okay, this is kind of a wild, violent cop show.
Yeah.
And those folks, you know, I could sell them on. The Wire, you could sell on being more of a like, this is also like a broader tapestry, a sort of like novelistic look at criminal enterprises and the justice system. And I think The Wire, because of that, I was able to bring more people into The Wire. I still love The Shield.
I definitely don't think it's the greatest show of all time, but at the time I loved it. You know, I bought every single DVD of The Shield. I listened to every single commentary track. Like I was so obsessed with that show at the time. As you point out, Jeff, it's really of its time. It also had a cast that felt like kind of a miracle. Like for instance, like in The Wire, I think like most of the people from The Wire went off and especially in the first three seasons, like went off and like had their own careers. Most of the actors in The Shield, obviously was great for Michael Chiklis and also what's his name, Walton Goggins, huge for him. But like most of the other actors were like people I hadn't heard of before and people who I really haven't heard much of since.
Well, CCH Pounder was already a star when she was in it, you know, had gone on to do wonderful things too. And I guess you're right. It's less of a star-studded. I mean, that one guy went to jail.
Yeah.
Jace, what is his name?
Yeah, Michael Jace. Yeah.
Yeah. Whew, crazy story, that dude.
Yeah. Yeah.
But one of the main four cops, like retired from acting after that show.
Right.
He doesn't even act anymore.
But also I was going to say, you know, you were saying we wouldn't have like modern shows. We wouldn't have The Night Agent without The Shield, which Sean by Ryan's the way, was the number one movie on Netflix for the first 6 months of 2023, with like 800 million hours viewed or something along those lines.
I think it was a billion.
Yeah, so they compared it to
I saw it compared to Mr. Beast, and Mr. Beast has almost more than the, or like just more than The Night Agent.
The Night Agent racked up more than 812 million hours.
Oh, and then maybe it was the Mr. Beast who had a billion hours. Anyway, I think the show is extraordinary and still has some of the most incredible twists and turns. And the fact, you know, one of the things that I think it does better than The Wire, obviously because The Wire was more of an anthology, each season is its own thing, is that it's spun plates. Like, you know, we're used to that with stuff like Breaking Bad. But, you know, what it was doing with establishing these stakes and constantly making it ramp up season after season and having things that happened three, four seasons ago play out that much later. You know, the pilot of The Shield ends with a very dramatic moment. Yeah. And literally every moment after that is dealing with that inciting incident. And it's an extraordinary thing. Like there's not a lot of shows that could pull that off, that could keep those plates spinning for that long.
I also want to call out that The Shield had one of the great final episodes of all time.
Absolutely.
One of the great ending, final three episodes, like just an amazing arc. It's very rare. It's rare for a show to stick the landing as good as The Shield.
Yeah.
And they did it. And that's worth
the other show around that time that stuck the landing for me was Six Feet Under and The Sopranos and The Shield and The Wire were like, those were the shows that started this renaissance that we've had for so long.
And to be fair, the Sopranos ending was really debated at the time and still is to this day. You know,
no, that's right. So, I don't think anybody would put the Sopranos ending as, you know, a home run. You know, I think it is. It's
I would
audacious. But, you
know, it was very polarizing.
It's a choice.
But the 6 feet Under ending is I still put as like one of my favorite final episodes of all time. But I want to say a bit, because you brought up Walton Goggins. There is a case to be made that Walton Goggins' career is the greatest television career ever.
It's a great run.
Dude, the shows that he has been associated with between The Shield, Justified, Righteous Gemstones,
The Unicorn.
I never watched The Unicorn. I don't know if that's the outlier.
It is. It's one of the most ridiculous things I've ever seen. I'm surprised he even went through it. But
he's
exists.
Like consistently in some of the best television ever made. And he is always great in those things and like a standout part of those things. I think he is one of my favorite actors and I love him.
Squidbillies?
If I recall correctly, he wasn't even supposed to be a main character in The Shield. Like he was supposed to be like, I don't even think he was supposed to survive season one, if I recall, but I'm talking about memories of commentaries I heard from years ago, but like, I remember him not being like a prominent character and then he was so good, they decided to make him a main character. And also basically, I'm not going to spoil anything, but I'll say like, he was a critical part of how that show ended.
And very
memorably.
I mean, that was the thing with Justified. Like, his character was supposed to die, like, immediately Justified, right? So
maybe I'm getting those two mixed up.
Yeah, I think you're thinking of Justified. Yeah.
Well, whatever the case, one of those shows he was not supposed to survive, and he did, and he crushed it, you know? So,
I around that time, I was so into The Shield and just thought it was the greatest thing ever, and managed to get myself invited to the finale. They did this, like, it wasn't a party, so it was kind of a party, but it was more like this this sort of round table discussion with an audience, and it was incredible, and I got to meet him, and he was like the nicest guy. Aww. So humble, so sweet, so encouraging to me at the time, because I told him I was an actor, and he like, it was awesome, and I just think the world of that guy.
Awesome. Anyway, The Shield, obviously you can hear us talking about it. It's still like a show that we have a lot of affection for.
Yeah,
I don't think it's one of the greatest, but I put it in the top 20 for me. Sure. You know? It'd be up there.
Yeah, it's in my top three for sure, if not number one.
Okay. Jeff, why don't we get to your story real quick?
Okay.
You had a topic.
So this is a complete change of pace, but this may be more of a along the lines of a slash film court type topic. Mm-hmm.
It's been a while.
Yeah, it is. But I would love the two of you to adjudicate this. And you can tell me if I've brought this up before, because this has been a bugaboo of mine for quite a long time. I don't think we've ever talked about it specifically, but correct me if we have. I recently had a prime example of this issue, but this is an issue that is quite frequent. So I went, this happened to be a critics screening that I went to. I believe it was for Beekeeper, but it doesn't matter what movie it is. I went in and sat down. I happened to be by myself, and I sat down in the movie theater, and it was dead quiet in there. It was sparsely attended. There was, I don't know, a smattering of people. And then two people walked in and sat down two rows behind me and just had a conversation at full volume, just at normal, like I'm talking now, just talking in their full speaking voice. And it was very personal conversation. Very personal. I mean,
they nobody was there as the beekeeper, you know?
Yeah. Well, there were people there. I was there. There was more than there was. I would say there was 10 people in the theater. It was a very small theater, very small theater. So this wasn't like a giant auditorium. This was, you know, a very small, like, you know, theater 10 in a 12 multiplex or something, you know, it's one of those back ones that only has like 50, 70 seats in it. And, I mean, their conversation was very personal. Like I was talking about like how he was going to marriage counseling and like the stuff, problems with his kids and all this, but even separate from that, which is, I think heightens this issue, but even separate from that, I just have a huge problem with people speaking in their normal volume level in a movie theater. And I wonder how you guys feel about this. I believe that when you enter a theater, a movie theater, I am not supposed to hear you talk. And I understand the movie hasn't started. There's nothing on the screen. We're sitting in an empty auditorium and you're there. Maybe you're on a date. Maybe you're hanging out with a friend. Maybe you're going to the movies together and you want to talk. If I'm talking in a movie theater, I'm talking like this and I'm saying, you know, it's how was your week? You know, we're talking like we are not, my voice should not carry.
Mm-hmm.
What do you guys think?
Wait. Did they keep talking during the movie?
No, they stopped talking.
This is just all pre-movie.
All pre-movie stuff. Dead.
Jeff, do you own a pair
silent.
Of AirPods?
No. Okay. Well, yeah. That's my question. Yeah. Is it incumbent upon me to prevent their words from getting in my ears?
Yeah.
Or is it incumbent upon them?
I think there are no rules before the movie begins.
Before the movie starts. Yeah.
In my opinion.
But like,
unless you're urinating on the seat. Don't urinate on the seat.
Unless you are actively like physically disrupting someone.
So do you guys do this? If you go
absolutely.
With a friend.
In New
you
York,
talk full
dude?
Voice.
At,
you're talking
at every
full voice.
At screenings in New York, like that's what it is. It's groups of people having full voice conversations.
Oh, I hate this.
That's what
it's
lively
bustling.
Screening
it's
environment
bustling.
Is.
Movie theaters before movie
no.
can often be bustling.
It should just cut down on the bustle. And B,
too much bustle.
Too much bustle.
Yeah. And B, like what I'm describing is zero bustle. It was
okay. So it's a quiet room
full of silent people.
Yeah.
Two people walk in and sit down and have a conversation that literally is now including everyone in it.
Sure.
Everyone in that theater knows about that dude's problems with his marriage and all that. Like everyone
No, Jeff. Look, I'm not going to say I would have that conversation. I'm not going to say that's something I would do. I wouldn't. I would do what you do. I would say like, hey, I would.
Sotto voce.
Sotto voce, I'd be, or pianissimo, as we might say in this, you know, it'd be very quiet. I'd say, hey, so at marriage counseling, my wife told me she wants to see other men, you know, like whatever. Like that's, that's
not
what
even,
I would say.
But not even that. Like, yes, 100% that. But also like, I had a Reuben sandwich for lunch. Like that, like, I don't care what the topic is.
So Jeff, I think that works for me. But there is nothing wrong with what that
there's no rules.
Why? Right? But we are now, I am now forced to reckon with your conversation.
Like, are you in a public space?
Yeah, you're in a public space before the movie begins.
Yes.
Also, by the way, Jeff, I'm just going to put this out. Look, okay, I know this might sound weird, what I'm about to say, but the guy gave you a real emotion.
Yeah,
you know,
he's feeling like something.
You got to experience something real and true.
You're saying it's a gift?
Yes!
Nathan Fielder would make a meal of this.
You know? I am saying that. I am saying that, Jeff, that you got to be let into the fullness of a stranger's life in a way that you wouldn't ever otherwise have
the
a chance
idea
to.
Of someone listening into my conversation the way I listened into theirs is a nightmare. And I'm a guy who talks for a living and makes people listen to it. And the idea of me being forced to listen to his conversation, like I don't want to be forced to listen to your conversation.
I mean, I also think it sounded like it's a personal conversation that they were maybe starting from before and brought it into the theater and did not realize the noise differentiation, which happens. That also happens.
I'm also just to put this out there that like it's. Sometimes if you're in a theater, it's difficult to know how much other people can hear you. Like that's just a true fact.
They are made to throw sound, right?
Yeah. So sometimes you're just like, I'm talking.
I think that's a very generous. This was like pin drop silent. There were like 8 to 10 people sitting silently waiting for this movie to start. And they walk in. They're not talking as they walk in.
They walk
in, they sit down and it's like, it didn't even start with, it didn't start with marriage counseling. It started with, I also saw another Jason Statham movie. I don't remember what it was, but it was something like, it was just, we're having chit chat. And then the guy, what else did you do this week? Well, I went to marriage counseling. Oh yeah. Yeah. How's that going? My wife wants to see other. It was like, what am I forced to listen to?
This is why I never leave the house without my AirPods. That is like a big thing, but also. Yeah. Yeah, I don't know, Jeff. Like you can't unless it's like an assumed thing, or like you're going into Kennedy for a zone of interest, and you just want everybody to be like, okay, strap in for this thing.
You know, I think it was
shocked you guys aren't on my side on this.
It was a great Best Picture winning movie that once said, in any real city, you walk, you brush past people, and people bump into you.
It's true,
but in LA, nobody touches you. You were always
behind.
We're
you
always
got your LA vibes,
metal
Jeff.
And glass. I think we miss that touch so much that we crash into each other just so we can feel something.
I think a conversation just crashed into you, Jeff.
In this case, I think we miss that touch so much that we have conversations really loudly in movie theaters just to feel something.
Do you guys speak at full voice?
I don't know what full voice is. I don't do that for myself, but the guy did nothing wrong. You know?
Yeah.
He did nothing wrong. Like, especially if this had happened during the movie, it's a whole different conversation.
Yes.
But
absolutely.
Before the movie, it is the laws of the jungle apply. It is the Thunderdome. There are no laws.
I mean, have we seen Cinema Paradiso? That was happening
during the movie.
But I kind of love the life of a movie theater and what people bring into it. I was probably on the other end at one point because I remember being on a flight to Atlanta to see my parents at some point. I was having a very nice conversation with the old lady who was next to me, who was just like very engaging, very interesting. And it was like at the beginning, the flight attendants were doing their thing. And the guy in front of me just leaned back and was like, can you be quiet? Like, for what?
Yeah.
The safety routes that you've seen 100 times? No, I wasn't being loud, Jeff. I was just talking to the person who's sitting next to me at
regular voice.
But can we not have
earplugs
some awareness and respect that everybody doesn't want to be involved in your two-person conversation?
I was trying to be quiet, Jeff. I thought I was. Yeah.
If you're in a space where we're all forced to be in close proximity to each other, let's have some awareness that other people don't want to listen to you. Like, I don't understand that. I really don't. I don't want people to listen in on my conversation. So why would I want to listen in on someone else's conversation?
Well, sorry, again, it's listen in that like you're, that's the key word there is like, you could theoretically choose not to listen. There are things you could do to choose not to listen, you know?
But why why is it incumbent upon me?
Because you want silence.
Where's the respect for the people around you? Where's the consideration? We live in a society!
You know, that's true. You know, Jeff, that's a true fact. We used to live in societies where people all knew each other and knew each other's business and gave a shit about each other. And now we all live in these little isolated pods where it's the only time we might possibly interact with each other is overhearing
each other
in the theater.
About what's happening with our neighbors.
I was this close to turning around and being like, I think you should leave her. Or, you know, like, like just some like,
I would have loved to see where that story ended.
I'm obviously involved in this conversation. So here we go. I'll participate now.
I think, I want to return back to my point of I literally think it is difficult to know how loud you are in a theater because there is sound dampening.
For me.
There is sound dampening everywhere. Like it's not like a hall where you're like your voice is echoing, right?
But you just
your voice is absorbed by
you
all
talk,
that.
The person is right next to you. You can just be like, "Hey, yeah, I had a good time at the, you know, at the thing, and I had, you know, we all went." Ice skated and it was wonderful.
Yeah. Maybe, maybe the other person is hard of hearing. We don't know.
We don't know the full
situation.
You don't know their full story, Jeff.
I mean, do because I had to listen to it.
I don't know.
All right. Well, anyway.
I'm sorry, Jeff.
I'm shocked.
Sorry, the film court rules against Jeff Cannata.
Neither of you side with me on this one. I'm
hashtag
shocked.
Hashtag that guy did nothing wrong. I mean, again,
hashtag
it's not,
loud talker.
It's not what I would do. But before the movie, I think people having loud conversations, it's kind of just part of what you have to accept.
It may be a thing that may have to happen to you at some point too, Jeff, if you bring your kids to the movie and they're like, they're demanding things or asking for things. Like,
I tell them to shut the hell up. At the movie, they're quiet. Nobody wants to listen to you.
All right. Sorry, Jeff. I apologize for the lack of solidarity on this one.
I'm shocked. I'm genuinely shocked. I thought you guys would be on my page at least.
I don't know. And I would
find it annoying, Jeff. I would find it annoying. Yeah,
but I'm not going to say headphones. Yeah, exactly. Yes, 100%. I find it annoying. And now I'm going to look at my phone and read an article. You know, like that would be my whole reaction.
Oh, so did I. That's exactly what I did. I'm looking at my phone going, oh, I can't even pay attention to what I'm reading because all I'm doing is hearing this inane blather behind me.
Yeah. If only there were some devices that could cover our ears and inject other noise.
I didn't think I would need to bring earphones to the movies.
Oh, I do it all the time. By the way, Jeff, you're the one trying to hide from all the trailers.
Right.
You know what I do during trailers? I put noise canceling on the trailers because I've seen them too much.
That's a good plan.
Shocked that you're not bringing headphones.
I stand outside, but that's a decent plan.
Yeah, yeah. All right. All right, folks. The Consumer Electronics Show was last week.
Oh, man.
And a lot of interesting tech was unveiled.
Oh, man. He says, oh, man.
Yeah.
Devendra covered it over at Engadget.com. Devendra, I guess let's start by asking you, what is the tech that was most exciting to you that you saw last week?
I mean, listen, guys, I got to be really geeky about a new type of RAM. So that was fun. I got to really talk about a new RAM module that Micron is releasing, which is actually genuinely going to be really good for laptops. So that was cool. But also AI PCs are like a new thing because Intel and AMD have the new chips that could do AI work. And that is actually pretty cool. They're chips that don't exist in most computers right now. So those are NPUs. And hey, these are things that are going to make it like a instant background noise removal that could happen without hitting your processor too hard or using up a lot of battery. Those things, I think, are going to be pretty cool in upcoming computers. We got some new GPUs. The new TV stuff, it seems like brightness is the thing TV makers are chasing now. Sony basically announced that they weren't even at CES with TVs. They had these meetings in Japan where they were like, no more OLEDs for us. We're going to go all in on mini LED, but mini LEDs with like 4,000 nits of brightness. And this, to me, seems like the most ridiculous thing. For these this is the new thing they're chasing, the new high number. I don't know. Have you guys ever sat in front of like a really bright mini LED TV with like the brightness on? It's horrible.
I will tell you, I love my OLED. I think I have a LG C10 is the OLED I have. And all the LG OLEDs are awesome.
But the brightness is not good.
That is the one pain point I have is that in a bright room, It is really difficult to view the picture.
And so I was just LG say, is actually.
I for one welcome our new mini LED overlord.
Well, isn't that the point? Is that it's not about, you know, lights dimmed nighttime viewing. It's about watching it in the middle of the day.
That's what the LCD people were chasing for a while. Actually, LG did talk about some new OLED technology that's coming. That's going to be like 3,000 to 3,500 nits. So that's actually pretty bright.
I also saw there's like an anti-reflective coating that they're doing, which I think would be really helpful for a lot of these OLED TVs. Like,
I think that's what they need to do. So Samsung has new TVs with the anti-reflective stuff, and that's the problem. Is if you have windows in your room and you have an OLED, the OLED's just like bouncing back whatever light is coming through those windows, so it's not fun. So anti-reflective could be nice. I'm just like annoyed at like this new nits horse race that is going to happen. Like, it's all about the nits. Like, guys, it is like being on the deck of the ship from Sunshine, you know, where they're just sitting staring at the sun. That's like what people are basically going to be asking for after a certain point. You don't want to have that full brightness at night. It's going to be real bad.
Interesting is we have gotten to like, we now all have TVs that are better than many theaters we can go to. And so it's really just about that last 10% of the experience of making it so it's a little brighter, a little less reflective, a little bit more comfortable, and so on and so forth. But we've come a long way since we started.
I think, and also the projectors are getting interesting. Yeah, go ahead.
I think, Jeff, I heard you on Twit talking about AI-enabled TVs that will switch your settings based on the content you're watching.
Yeah, Roku is doing that with their new.
I think that's pretty smart, because I am, you know, I'm as much a cinephile as anybody I know, and I'm too lazy to switch. I have the setting that I think works. But I'm not like, if I'm watching a football game, I don't switch over to a different setting. If I watch playing a video game, I just leave it because it's like, I'm not going to change the picture setting. But I love the idea of the TV doing that work dynamically for me.
Anytime automatic stuff happens, it tends to be like weird and wonky. That's so true too. Maybe eventually.
I love the concept, Jeff. Yeah. But TV makers have not shown that they can be trusted with getting settings for us.
I don't know. But so the number I heard from Roku is like 90% of people, maybe even more, never touched the like TV setting change, like the different modes of
TV. I believe it.
I can believe that. Totally makes sense. Maybe the auto mode will make sense for
the other 10% listen to the film cast, by the way.
Yeah, that's true. But personally, like, it depends. Like, in the TV in my like living room where my kids are at, it's at a standard thing. What I do is I control the brightness. If the kids are like around, I want it at the dimmest setting possible. If it's nighttime, I may raise up the brightness a little bit. And if the kids aren't around, or if it's during the day and sunny, I may raise up the brightness. But in my like home theater with my little projector here, that is always in cinema mode. I just kind of leave it there because I don't want any of the motions moving or anything turned on. And that works best for movies and most TV shows these days too. So I don't even change it on my stuff, but that's because I have different situations, you know, different settings and different areas. Yeah.
All right, guys. Any other CES tech? Jeff, you mentioned the transparent TVs.
Oh, yes. Yes.
Yeah. So I feel like that's the most sort of head turning new tech that was shown there. Cause that feels like what science fiction has been promising for a long time.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it looks really cool. LG has been like demoing it for a couple of years now. I think this year they have finally gotten to the point where it's like the really nice, the newest OLED tech at 4K with a transparent screen. I think the use case is like mainly for like stores. If you're like a freaking Burberry or something, you want to have like a really nice graphic alongside your $1,000 bag, then these things could kind of enable it. But honestly, I would love a transparent display on my desk. Like, give me a clear piece of glass that is sitting on my desk that will have windows on it. If I want a background, if I want to have like something behind the windows, sure, I can enable that. But otherwise, let it be free. Like, if you're in a sunny room, that's a great way to like let more light in and, I don't know, make the room feel more open rather than these giant monitors we have.
Honestly, one thing, so transparent TV is basically, it looks like a plate of glass that like images can appear on, essentially what it is. Honestly, the technology that I am most interested in that seems to be developing at a glacial pace is stuff like what's called Google's Project Starline, if you know what that is. Essentially, and I saw like some holograms at CES that do this thing where there's a camera capturing you. And then it projects like a hologram of you inside this box, and it looks like you're really there. Yep. And so you can imagine how that would be cool if someone's around across the world, like 3,000 miles away, but you can feel like you're really there. We have FaceTime, you know, we have Zoom and stuff, but we don't have really technology that makes it feel like you're really in the same room with someone yet.
For sure.
And it feels like we all have all the pieces to do it. We have.
We're gonna get there. Like,
so
listen, feel like,
yeah. So that's interesting to me. Yeah,
I've mentioned this before, but I do think like holographics is kind of where we're all like heading towards. Like, rather than having these screens that contain all our windows, like you want to have a thing that projects them out. That's essentially what the Vision Pro is kind of getting at. It's this idea and language for spatial computing. So that's why I'm like, I want to see what this new Vision Pro is going to do and how people respond to it. But that's not what Apple is going to stop. It's not going to stop at a pair of glasses. This is going to be something. It's going to be a whole new computing language for Windows, yeah. You know, and things that are around us at all times. And that could be good or bad. You know, it's very Black Mirror. You know, you don't want to be surrounded by web ads and, you know, bad websites and stuff.
All right. So let's talk about that. Apple's Vision Pro is going to be available for pre-order this Friday, January 19th at 5 a.m. Pacific time. It's going to be released on February 2nd. The price is $3,500. And this could be a big deal. You know, this could be a big deal, or the beginning of a big deal, at least. Now, I have debated whether or not to get one, not because I particularly am passionate about the idea, but because I think, like, there's going to be very few of these out in the wild. And I think there's a lot of content that could be made using one of these. Like, people will want to know.
If you're making content, yes.
People will want to know what the experience is. And if you have one of these, you can, like, tell people. You can, you know, be one of the people that shares with people how to use one of these things. But it's very expensive. You can buy 7 MetaQuest Pro or MetaQuest 3s for the price of one of these. Jeff Cannata, you have already decided you're gonna buy one of these. Tell us about, like, why, what your rationale is, and also Devinger's probably going to try to convince you to not do so during your questions episode.
Well, I'm a VR stan. You know, people know that about me. I love VR. I have more VR headsets than any human probably should have. I have a bunch of them. I was there at the beginning, got the very first Oculus headset, and you know, had the pre-launch one. What do they call it? It doesn't matter. Anyway, I love this tech, and this is the kind of thing that I work to make money for. Like, to be able to feel like I'm in the future, and mm-hmm. I just get excited about this stuff.
Yeah.
Is it
yeah.
an absurd amount of money to spend? It is, absolutely. Here's my saving grace. The day they announced the pre-order date and release date, I booked my first commercial in like 10 years.
Wow.
So yeah. That's why I had to shave my beard. So I'm doing this commercial and getting a little extra scratch, and that money going right to the Vision Pro. So I felt like it was a sign. I'm supposed to get it, and I'm going to get it. And I got a little extra scratch. So I feel justified in my decision. The wife gave me the thumbs up. So I'm
wow.
My bigger worry is that I'm not going to be able to get one. I'm having my wife and myself wake up at 5 a.m. on Friday.
Wow,
we're
Jeff.
Be spamming the sites trying to get
your wife is doing the spamming. Oh my God.
Oh man.
Gotta hang on to that one, Jeff.
Two-pronged.
Yeah.
Two-pronged. So, because I'm worried that there's going to be so few of them at launch that it'll be very, very difficult to get.
Yeah.
So I don't know the allocation or how that's all going to work, if it's state by state or how that's all going to work. But I'm hoping I can get one, because I love this tech. I'm excited to see it. I know that there's not going to be a ton of applications right away, but 3D movies are going to be available right away, and just
yeah, you mentioned there's like 150 3D movies, right?
Yeah, I think that's what they advertised yeah. that already on Apple.
So
TV.
You'll be able to watch like Avatar: The Way of Water in 3D and so on,
right? Again and again and again. Because when was the last other good 3D movie we've had?
The first Avatar.
How to Train Your Dragon. How to Train
yeah,
Your
that's
Dragon.
That's true. You know? Everything that was released around the first Avatar.
Hugo.
Yeah.
Anyway, so you know. This is the kind of thing that I get jazzed for. You know, there's very few things I will spend money on myself. I'm not the guy who's going to spend $1,000 on clothes or even $100 on clothes. I'm not the kind of guy who's going to, there's very few things I will spend lavishly on, you know, and this is one of them. So you know, I haven't been this excited about a piece of tech in quite some time. And so I'm really really thrilled to be able to try it out. I hope it doesn't let me down, but you know, Davinder's first person account is promising, and a lot of people that I've heard just think it's pretty impressive. So I want to.
Yeah, Davinder, you'll probably get a copy to use for your work, but the question is, are you going to buy one yourself? And my guess is the answer.
I'm definitely not buying one for myself, but I don't even know. Like, Apple is very weird about review stuff. I don't even know if I'm doing the review because they're doing like meetings with people to do it. So that's the thing. And
still cool that Davinder was one of the first people on the planet to try this thing.
It was a super cool experience. Ton of work. I'm almost thinking like, yeah, if I don't get the review thing from Apple, maybe I just do the pre-order for to see if I can write about that whole experience too. My thing, I can understand why you're going for it, Jeff. Totally get it. I was a VR stan too. I think I really am. Like, if you look behind me in the shadows, it's pretty much every VR headset made at this point. I'm more disappointed with the market. Like, when the PSVR 2 came out, I was like, oh man, it's great. Great to have this tech that's more accessible. It was so expensive. It was mostly the games that already existed for so long. Like, there were some new things. That was nice. But then, like, months later, like, it's like Sony has completely forgotten about it. There aren't really many new games. It seems like abandoned already as a platform. I don't think Apple's going to do that. But I do worry that this first year, the Vision Pro is going to be a lot like the release of the very first iPhone, where things were rough. You know, things were were spending a lot of money. They didn't really know how a lot of this would work. And the next few iPhones added 3G, added the App Store, added the stuff that would define the experience. I just hope the people who buy this early hardware aren't screwed over as they like improve over time. I do think it's going to be a while before it's like genuinely useful, because the whole idea of like wearing a thing on your head and just seeing web browser windows and app windows, like, I don't know how useful that's going to be. It really depends on the apps that are coming to it. I saw What the Golf put out a press release that they're going to have a version in there too. Apple's not hyping up the VR side of this too. They don't want to call these games VR games, which is weird. They're always a weird company when it comes to games. So I don't know how those experiences are going to balance.
They're very specific about the terminology. They don't want you to worry. They don't want you to use the term VR, XR, AR. I think spatial computing, right? That's their
spatial computing is like
they want to coin and own their own terminology around it. Yeah.
They did that whole event, that whole launch event. They never once said VR. They talked about immersive experiences. Yeah. So. There is.
I think
cool
that's
stuff
smart
here.
In a way.
Yeah,
though.
I agree.
Because there's a stank on VR. I mean, even as somebody that loves it, I recognize it. Yeah. So
if anybody's going to fix this industry, it could be Apple and like build something towards a long-term spatial computing like environment. But I don't know if this headset is anything like normal people need to think about, because it's going to get better. Like, this tech is going to get cheaper down the line, and you got to like let these developers cook, because right now, I really don't know what they're going to launch with. I don't know how compelling it's going to be at launch, unfortunately. Yeah.
As of us recording this right now, I think they have communicated very little about what the primary experiences and use cases about, you know, how you will use this device are, in my opinion. There's stuff that we know about, like the spatial video is really cool. You know, Tom Cruise in Minority Report viewing his own memories, you know, through holograms, like that idea is very cool. And if you can film spatial video and watch them on the Vision Pro, like, oh, wow. That in and of itself could be, you know, and I think, Davinder brings up the iPhone. The Apple Watch is another great example where that launched in a very, Apple Watch 1. It was not good, you know, and then over time they decided, oh, all you really want is a pedometer that can give you notifications, you know, and like do some, let you do workouts. That's it. Like, they learned what it was as they went along. And so I would strongly recommend anyone against buying this. If you want it to be like a useful, productive part of your life,
the Quest 3 is right there and is so much cheaper and has like great, compelling things already.
Right.
I agree 100%. Quest 3 is a real home run. I'm not a huge fan of Meta as a company. I'm not here to promote them, but I think the Quest 3 is the fulfillment of a big promise of VR that has been happening over the last decade. And it really is the headset to get. And I am so, like, between the fact that you can stream from Steam, you can play, you know, Xbox Game Pass games on it, all the stuff that you're able to do, the big library of titles at this point, and the pack-in game, Asgard's Wrath 2, I think is one of the most fun things I've played in a long time. I love that game so very much. And so if you're looking for an entertainment device, watching video on it, it's rad. I mean, you can read text on it. The AR stuff is cool. And for, you know, $500, it's a much cheaper prospect than Vision Pro.
So, so definitely, yeah, that's the one to get if you're interested in dipping your toe into VR or even AR or mixed reality. But yeah, I don't know, man.
Crazy times ahead.
Fully support Jeff getting it. You know, honestly, the way Jeff talks about it seems like there's no option but to get it. For me, I'm really debating it because I'm like, I bet my audience, whatever it is, would be interested in my take on this device, but it is just so much money. If it was like $1,000, I'd be like, easily, I would totally like $3,500, man. I'm just like, I don't know if I can do it.
It's not for normal people. It's not for consumers. Yeah. Like, I think that's the main thing. And they're just, maybe they should have just like kept it locked into developers.
Right. It's weird because they are a consumer electronics company, but it's really not at a state where it should be for consumers yet. So,
but they're going to sell out of them. So like, right, why wouldn't they put it, you know,
I don't know. We'll find out. We'll find out.
Dude, they're 100% going to sell out.
I think
they're going to sell out there. Their reports are going to make less. So that's how you sell out, is you don't make as many as they expected.
Yeah. Godspeed.
Yep. Yeah. Good luck.
During the pre-order.
We'll see.
And it's also 5 a.m. Pacific, Jeff. Yeah. So that may be 6 your time, right?
6 my time.
Mm, that's so not bad at all. That's a win. Not bad at all.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah.
All right. We'll see, man. I'm worried that it's going to be like arriving October 2024. And I'll be like, come on.
We'll have to have the readout next week and report back on like whether you actually succeeded or not.
For sure.
All right. Thanks for your support, patrons. We really appreciate it. Next week, we're going to do Ferrari. And until then, we'll see you later. Goodbye.